With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is the chief investment strategist for BMO Capital Markets. We started our conversations, Brian Belsky. Belsky, by the way, is with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Services Plus hotline. A little after 9/11, we talked our way through the recession of 08 and 09, and now we continue to look at the staggering numbers which are taking place over the last 2 weeks when you add over 6.6 million today, 10 million people have filed a new jobless claim in 2 weeks. We knew these numbers would be enormous. It's still different when now they are reality. What is your reaction to the numbers that came out today?
Well, thanks for having us, Chad. I mean, obviously that 10 million number that you threw out is very big. We kind of knew that. And the continuing claim part of it actually was a little bit lower than they thought. The 6 million number this week as new claims was a lot higher than we thought. So, I mean, economists are trying their best in terms of trying to put out as best they can with this moving kind of target with respect to COVID-19 with in terms of how companies are dealing with laying people off. But I guess the biggest question of all that you're probably going to ask me is, so why is the stock market up today?
Yes.
Exactly. And the reason the stock market's up today is because we, meaning investors, know how to deal with this type of analysis. We don't know how to deal with what we don't know. And I think the biggest part of what has occurred especially the last 2 to 3 weeks is clearly conditions have worsened, and the timing of when and where the peak is going to be is still in question. We're still trying to figure all that out, and we haven't had to figure that out in our investment lives before. We can figure out the impact of unemployment claims. We can figure out the potential of monetary and fiscal policy, what it's done. We can figure out, you know, how earnings are going to be how are going to be affected, by, you know, this deepening economic, you know, breakdown and slowdown. But we can't deal with how and when and why COVID-19 is going to slow.
Okay, so let's say we have two more of these weeks, which we're going to at big numbers. I don't know if that will continue anywhere near today's. Let's all hope not. But if these numbers would continue at a very out of the ordinary rate, just on the unemployment claims, do you think the economy, in particular the market, because they face, you know, jobless number problems before, that they still can continue to handle that if they show no signs of slowing down?
Well, I think there's a conventional wisdom floating around that a lot of companies, when they're going to cut people because of what's been going on, they cut them right in the beginning, just in terms of saving the money. So I think there is a chain of thought, that the big part of it has already occurred. Now, again, this is all about timing. If we're still sitting here talking the way that you and I are right now, a month from now, then we're probably going to have another wave of this. The likelihood of that, just given to, you know, how things are developing, is low, quite frankly. And that's not what I'm saying. That's what the doctors are saying. So, I mean, I think that's why you've seen such a rush to judgment in the stock market being as negative as it was prior to last week. And then this week we had a couple of bad days, but it's recovering again today because, again, we're dealing with data that we understand. But I think, if we're 4 to 6 weeks out and we're dealing with another wave of surprise, the curve begins to go the opposite direction again, which, again, the majority of doctors are saying that this is going to be dramatically different a month from now.
Although they are saying that a month from now, we will have dropped from April 15th, when it's right around 2,500 a day. They're still saying the early part of May, we might be right around 1,000 people a day. You know, and then towards the end of May, it's down to hundreds. So let me get to this. In a couple weeks, individuals will start getting their checks from the still seems odd to me, a stimulus bill, because I'm still skeptical how much people are going to spend it, lifeline bill, whatever you want to call it. How will we judge how effective this whole $2.2 trillion bill, how can we judge how effective it is, especially if a lot of people, and they can do whatever they want, just want to put that in the bank and want to save it right now because they're so uncertain of aspects of the economy, including the market?
We'll be able to judge it the second half of the year, I think especially late summer into the fall, on when and if people start to feel more comfortable being out in public places again. But, you know, we are a society, we are a race that we need to be together. We're packed people, right? And I think every day I talk to people around the world, and I can't tell you how many people are so sick of doing their dishes or cooking. Yep. It's all this pent-up, I think, demand that I think people are underestimating. I mean, I've said it on your show for, again, 20 years. What are we really good at in the United States? Spending money. But I think the difference is that the composition of how we're going to spend money, Chad, is going to be different. So, for instance, you know, the Amazon machine, UPS, FedEx, I mean, you see trucks driving up and down Hennepin Avenue in Washington that are UPS trucks and Amazon trucks and FedEx trucks. I mean, we're buying stuff. And I think the composition of how we're going to spend is dramatically moving even more toward online. And people are smart. The consumer is smart, Chad. They're going to buy from Amazon. They're going to buy from Costco. And they're going to go buy their whatever lifestyle type of outfit or whatever they want to do, whether or not it's Lululemon or whatever. I think that's where we're really spending our money, and I don't think that's going to change.
So the small business lending program, people are going to have an opportunity on that, and I think it starts maybe in the deadlines even tomorrow morning. And I've read a couple stories where there's confusion about which banks, how they do it. It's a great amount of money. It's $350 billion. Do you think we've had enough clarity on this? So not just in Wilmer, not just in Minnesota, all across the country, people who are affected by this know what to do?
Yeah, I think I'm so glad you brought that up because the only social media I'm on is LinkedIn. And so I get a lot of LinkedIn messages whenever I'm on TV or a lot of contacts all over the business. And small businesses, especially service-oriented businesses, restaurants, consumer, they're doing a great job sending out all this information. So LinkedIn's a great resource for that. Also, there's several different websites through the state or through the federal government that's actually giving you more and more information on that. Also, too, if you just walk around, if you walk around downtown Minneapolis, which I've done, there's some flyers up in businesses talking about that if you want more information. So I've seen that. So I think from a communication standpoint, I mean, this is the really true test of why America is great. I mean, we are resolute. We're in this together. We're putting the partisan stuff aside, and we're working together. So I've seen a lot of evidence of that information out there.
Brian Belsky's with us, Chief Investment Strategist, BMO Capital Markets, a number of economic issues on this day that, when you include last week, 10 million people last 2 weeks have filed unemployment claims. You have a bit of a debate right now in Washington, D.C., following the $2 trillion bill. You have the president who suggested a bill about the same size for infrastructure. You have the Speaker of the House talking about another large bill, general area money that would push for more testing, push for more supplies, really driving the hospital side. Mitch McConnell is saying, hold on. Let's see what happens with this first bill. Let's see how the country reacts. Let's remember we're talking trillions of dollars. Where do you stand on these ideas, whether we should wait or whether we should keep pumping in a lot of money?
Well, again, on the testing and on just the lifeline of this virus, you know, I have the very good fortune of moderating a weekly call with a doctor that we have on from who is the chief medical officer of WebMD, and he just reminds our clients each and every week, and all this is public knowledge because I record a podcast with his comments every week. So this is a typical kind of seasonality for an upper respiratory disorder that is obviously very aggressive, that typically runs from in the northern hemisphere from November to March. And so I think these forecasts of being done, you know, a month or 6 weeks from now are actually pretty conservative. It could be done even before then. But remains to be seen in terms of all of this work that needs to be done between now and the next flu season that's going to be in the fall and into early winter. So in terms of the stuff that's already being done by the massive amounts of 150 to 200 companies already trying to chase down not only a treatment or a vaccine, spending the money, as Mr. McConnell said, that's a couple trillion reasons, and we have to figure out how we're going to pay for that going forward. So the continued government debt loads will most certainly keep interest rates low for a long time, even longer than what I've ever anticipated, which is good for the consumer, you know, bad for the economy in terms of just being able to grow at higher rates, Chad. So I would be of the opinion, being more of a free market person, wanting businesses to kind of figure this out versus spending more money just for the sake of spending money.
Last thing, let's talk about debt. You look back to where Bill Clinton had it in 1990, the end of the 90s as he left, and no doubt he benefited from some of the difficult decisions that George H.W. Bush did, right? There's this trickle-down effect that you know better than me.
Yep.
George W. Bush, now the son, he was talking about a high emphasis on that. And then 9/11 happened. Okay. And we didn't tax through multiple wars. Then the economy turns upside down. W. spends a lot of money. Obama spends a lot of money. We're doing a little better on the debt at the end of Obama. Trump has come in with the tax changes. The debt has jumped up again. Now with this money, the national debt is jumping up again. Are we ever going to get back to a point where when we're $23 trillion, $24 trillion, $25 trillion debt, it's ever going to matter again?
That's a wonderful question, and that all kind of dovetails into the whole interest rate scenario and debt burden and interest coverage ratios and all these very technical accounting-type measures. I think at some point there's going to be a very high likelihood that we, as a government, try to quote unquote refinance this debt and wrap it all up into one big giant bow. That's, you know, it's called monetization of the debt. Not to get too, you know, technical with you, but I think if President Trump is reelected, I think that could be something that you see in his second term, just to kind of wrap this up and to kind of clean it up instead of letting it float the way that it has been.
Stay safe, man. Thanks for the great information, and we'll talk soon.
All the best to you, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.